Morning.
Good morning.
You didn't realize we
got up this early. Good morning. Couldn't hold the candle to you guys, I'll tell you that.
Well, this is such a great opportunity, but let's start. Where did you come up with this idea, Congressman?
Well, let's be clear. First of all, I'd thank you very much for the kudos, but this isn't my idea. This is the accumulation of thought over several decades, and this was just a matter of connecting the dots at this point in history. So, for example, for a long time, Riverfront Recapture, for more than 50 years, has been talking about connecting the Hartford Riverfront. And as you know, Dan and Brad, that our levee systems are in desperate need of repair. And this presented an opportunity for us, compounded by the fact that we most recently named Coatesville a National Historic Park.
That's right.
And the Connecticut River is a National Historic Heritage River and the only Blue Ways designated river in the country, separated by two federal levee systems initially installed in the late 30s, and of course an eight-lane highway that happens to serve as the interchange between 84 and 91, which became the focus, along with current work that was being done in the crumbling viaduct, commonly referred to as the Aetna Viaduct. And so taking a step back and looking at a longer vision, we came up with the concept, and I say we, it's people like Carl and Chuck Sheehan, actually my brother Tim, Tony Guerrero, that said, listen, you know, we're going to be spending an awful lot of money in this viaduct, and it doesn't seem as though we're going to get all that we could out of it, meaning that we won't continue to unite the city of Hartford, you know, which has been divided by that viaduct. We won't end up repairing the levees. We'll end up certainly improving the area, certainly expanding the capacity for traffic in the area, and making some good, positive decisions in Hartford, but not the grand vision. And incrementally, we'd probably be after it again in within 15 years. And most importantly, and when I talked with Luke Bronin, and the real sense of urgency came there, we'd have to close the city of Hartford for about 2 years. Mm. And you know know the current problems that the city is going through. So the idea was to go back to what the original planners, and that took some history, that took Carl to remind us, and frankly even our own DOT, who, to their credit, they've simply been doing what we've asked them to do, and that was to look at the study of the Aetna Viaduct, which they're currently studying. And I think what most people don't understand is they still have to come back to the federal government and ask them for the money. In this case, it'll be in tranches. The first tranche, which will be about $5 billion once the study is complete. So what we added to the mix is said, why don't we look at both and take it in combination and look at a 100-year vision that will both reunite the city of Hartford, that will recapture our riverfront, repair our levee systems. Well, how do you do that? The only way to do that feasibly would be to go vertically instead of horizontally. Now, what do we mean by vertically? We mean a tunneling system. A tunneling system that is very feasible, and we know this because the MDC is already about tunneling 4.5 miles from West Hartford down to the South Meadows. So this is very feasible, very doable, and we have a federal government that's about to launch into a $1 trillion infrastructure program. And so that's why we wanted to make sure we were there with not an incremental vision. There's nothing wrong with what the DOT has been proposing, what they're doing. A lot of advocates who are in those particular neighborhoods have been looking for relief for a number of years. This is still going to provide the same kind of relief. Not only will we bury those tunnels, but we're going to repurpose the three bridges going across the Connecticut River in Hartford, including the Buckley, the Founders, and the Charter Oak, all of which will have great economic development value, reclaiming a lot of land that would otherwise not have been used on both sides of the river. In East Hartford, it's the Mixmaster system that is the equivalent of concrete to all of downtown Hartford. And, of course, on the Hartford side, both behind the levee system and all along that viaduct, once that is taken down and those bridges repurposed and those roads turned to the luxurious boulevards that they were once intended to create, a more livable, accessible, bikeable, intermodally, transportationally wise community. That's what the goal is.
Well,
16 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, the congressman was just talking about the Connecticut River.
Larson in studio, going to be here until 9 today, a solution for the capital city. We're also joined, and he's seated in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, the former Deputy Transportation Commissioner, Carl Bard. And, Carl, what are some of your thoughts on this proposal?
Well, when John first asked me to join in on this effort, I wasn't quite sure where we were headed because the Aetna Viaduct had been studied previous to this. I was the MDC rep to the Hub Committee that goes back 10 years anyways, and we actually discussed the tunnel as one of the options back then, but we didn't have enough cash, we felt, at the time, so it was dismissed at that point. And you see what they're pretty much, I would say, coming out of that, what you see on the plan right now is what they, in fact, recommended from the Hub Committee. Anyways, moving forward, recognizing we're going to spend about $5 billion on that, we get to the idea that, okay, there's $5 billion there, and then you have the interchange thrown into the mix, and there's another $5 billion. Well, when you start spending $10 billion, now you're talking real money. Yeah. And quite frankly, if that can, in fact, be brought to the table, it really opens up the opportunities to do some of these things. In addition to just the transportation money, as the congressman pointed out, if you can generate money because of the levy issues, quite frankly, with the historic money that you can also bring to the table, all of a sudden you have all these different funding sources that would be available to do a project like this. And to be honest with you, the levees have to be addressed at some point. And quite
they're frankly, bad, aren't they?
Yeah. They're leaking now.
They're leaking?
Yeah. When the water, when the river comes up to 26, say 20 feet, you know, at the high flood levels, what is happening is the water comes underneath the levee and then up into 91. It's not a bad, you know, a terrible situation, but it's not something you want to have long term.
It's something called sand boil, Brad, and this is actually what caused the collapse in the Ninth Ward in Louisiana. It wasn't that the water from Lake Pocheton went over the top. It was that the pressure, because of how full the river can get, caused a collapse underneath. The Army Corps is well aware of this, et cetera, and the funding for that comes from a program called WERDA. But WERDA hasn't been funded for years, and we're woefully way down the list of cities who are applying for that money, even though we face a catastrophic concern like the collapse of our levee system. That's why what's unique about our proposal is putting a portion of the highway under the river, thereby taking what would be an Army Corps project and making it a highway project. And the great irony is both Carl and Chuck have pointed out to me that the very Jurassic basalt that we would be taking 70 feet under the riverbed would be used to reinforce the levees on both sides of the river. So we get a dual solution here, and we solve both a levee problem and an interchange problem at the same time. And Carl and Chuck know far more about that than I do, but that's what was extraordinarily heartening. Now, these are things, again, that the Department of Transportation was not, they were not given that task. The viaduct has been an age-old issue, and there's some confusion, too, when people say a tunnel, because there was a tunnel that was proposed for a portion of the viaduct. We're going to totally repurpose the viaduct back to local boulevards and tunnel from out near Flatbush Avenue, which would eliminate that swirling curve and all of the big off and on exit ramps. You would actually be able to walk from the Aetna across the street instead of having to cross an 8-lane highway.
Wow.
To get to over there. And reconnecting Broad Street together, Asylum Hill would have greater accessibility. And the ideas that DOT has come up with for repositioning the railroad on the other side of the street, this will be transformational for the city of Hartford and returning it to the splendor of the times of Mark Twain. Imagine that Corning Fountain instead of in Bushnell Park in full view of everybody, instead of disguised and not seen. This is going to be, and the properties that will be able to be reclaimed, and communities and neighborhoods reconnected via north-south access roads, et cetera, where previously they were cut off by virtue of highways.
You know, Congressman, something else, too, that I think people should know what you have done. You have, and you didn't say much about it, but you got a pretty influential guy in Washington that you have really, you brought him up here a couple of times, and tell our audience.
Well, Bill
about
Schuster
it.
Is the
Bill Schuster
is the transportation code chairman in the House of Representatives, and he'll be making his sixth trip up here in September. And Bill Schuster, let me say this: in this day and age, I think your listeners especially need to hear this because politics today can be so derisive. But as Bill would say, and I give him credit for this, he said, "Hey, look, infrastructure is neither Democrat or Republican.
That's right.
What we need to do is build."
He's a Republican.
He's a Republican, dyed-in-the-wool Republican, and
one of those, right?
A great friend of mine, and also I think of the country's because of his vision. I mean, he's a big rail guy, but he also, when he came to Hartford and looked at what the potential vision could be, he met with Tony Guerrero as well, sat down with both the DOT and the governor as well. And the governor and DOT are, you know, they're excited about it, but they're saying, is the federal government ever going to deliver on the money they have been promising? And I believe that they will. Certainly Schuster does. We believe that this is a big issue for President Trump, and this is vital, I think, even to them.
He said he wants to do
this. Oh, he definitely wants to do it, and I think it's the way they're going to be able to tie tax reform to infrastructure. That's my own belief. Right. They haven't publicly said that, but I think in increasing months you'll hear them come to that conclusion. So we believe that the money will be there, which, of course, rightfully so. You know, the governor and DOT were skeptical about that, and, you know, we added, you know, the 91 interchange, because forever we just recently had Coltsville in 2014 named the National Historic Park. So look at the national treasures we have sitting on the river. We have a National Historic Park. We have a levee system that was first designed by the Army Corps of Engineers. We have a National Heritage River, historic river in the Connecticut River, one of eight in the country. The only blue ways designated, and we have our greenways paths, et cetera, that have been disconnected. This is going to give us an opportunity to unite all of those. And those are federal areas. I mean, that's a federal historic park separated by an eight-lane federal highway system with a federal interstate connector, with a federally designated river, levee systems, and greenways, all of which we believe will place us higher on the list. And when you add the concern about the levies to this issue, we think that that raises the sense of urgency and puts us at the top of the pile, not the bottom.
Wow.
Okay, this is exciting, and we've just hit the top of the iceberg, right?
Now, if any of you have any questions, you folks that are listening now, we want you to participate. That's why we brought everybody in here. 1-888-574-2723 is our telephone number.
Legislature's Transportation Committee, State Representative Tony Guerrero. Now, I want to get to the environmental impact of all of this, simply because when President Trump was touting his infrastructure improvement plan on Friday, he used as an illustration a Maryland contractor who's waited years for building a 17-mile highway in Maryland because of all of these environmental impact studies. So where do we stand on that, Carl?
Well, ironically, I've been here for 43 years now in this business in Connecticut. And we had this conversation with the governor when Schuster came up, and I pointed out to him that in all those 43 years, we only built one highway on new alignment. That's 291 in the Northeast Quadrant.
In 43 years?
43 years. We hitched up 691, we hitched up 384 into 84, a lot of interchange stuff, but the vast majority of our work was just reconstruction of what we had. I mean, think about it. 7 was never built, 11 was never built. The 84, the original plan for 84 was go to Providence, that was never built. And if you look at all these random interchanges around Hartford where they were supposed, you know that interchange right up the road that sits out in the middle of nowhere? Well, that was supposed to be connected at Citizen Avenue and take you up to the airport. And specific to this project we're talking about, one of the alignments for the new 8491 interchange takes you off to the old Governor Street ramps that take you into the Prospect Street area in East Hartford. That was supposed to be the East Side Highway that was going to go up I-90 or the river and reconnect to I-91 up in East Windsor. That never got built because of the environmental issues. And then again, we said, okay, well, let's just try to build a bypass so you didn't have to make that connection over to Main Street and then drive up Route 5. So we called it the Prospect Street Bypass. We couldn't get a permit for that either. And that's why I was kind of surprised when I saw the alignment, because you're looking at, okay, now you got to try to get through that wetland again, cross the river, and all you're doing with the northern route is just move the corridor that you cut off the, well, at that point, sort of the northwest portion of Hartford instead of reconnecting. Same thing on the southerly corridor. You're going right through the Hispanic neighborhoods of South Hartford, and it's like you've just moved the problem. You haven't really addressed it, which is why this idea the congressman had was so unique, that all that goes away. And the third, let me just touch real quick on the third alternative that goes more or less on the same alignment. When you're done with it, you're still, yeah, you've increased capacity, but you still have the same corridor running through your city.
Right. But from an environmental standpoint, are you going to have to go through hoops in order to get this project done? Is that going to hold up this project?
Well, that's the big question.
I can tell you, after, because being with the MDC and I was involved with the engineering board, or the design portion of that to get that tunnel done, and quite frankly, I was amazed at how easy in comparison. The point is, when you tunnel, the big one is the social justice issues that you run through, as you can see in today's environment, what happened when we put 84 through originally, and it just cut off the whole north end of Hartford. When you do the tunnel, all you do, you have a hole at one end and a hole at the other end, and for the vast majority of time, nobody knows it's even there. And I can speak to that from experience, because I grew up in Orenicoit, New York, on the north side of Rochester, and back in the 60s, they drilled one of the biggest tunnels for the sewage treatment facility, and it went right under my house. And it's like, wow, that's really cool. But it had absolutely no impact at all. And that's, I think, between you look at the environmental issues and then the right-of-way, which is always a big thing. There's no real right-of-way involved in this, no realignments. So all of those costs are pretty much taken care of. Whereas, to be honest with you, as I look at this, and you look at the process you have to go through to get those environmental permits, it's going to take a really long time. So when we say, okay, we're talking about $10 billion, that's today. Can you even get a permit? That's the first question. And if you do, how long is it going to take? So now if you're building it 10 years from now, well, it's not $10 billion anymore. Now it's probably 25.
That's right.
Whereas I think this project could go through a lot quicker. And
when can this project start, though, in your mind? When could this project start?
Well, you'd have to do, I'm just kind of comparing to the MDC work. That took us about 5 years to get that design done and go through the process of identifying the geotechnical issues. That was the biggest thing. But we know an awful lot about the geotech now because we've been drilling so many holes in the ground. So conceivably, you could do it that fast. The big thing is, can the congressman get us the money?
The co-chair of the Transportation Committee, Representative Tony Guerra, is
yes.
here. What's the state legislature's view on all of this?
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I came into the parking lot here. I thought I was at the Capitol with all these famous individuals here. I said, what a lucky guy I am this morning. Well, listen, folks, you know where I stand on a lot of these issues when it comes to transportation. I think you two gentlemen, Dan and Brad, have been terrific in regards with the electronic tolling. As you know, that came up during the session, and so did this study. It came up the last day, which we voted on, and it passed. If the congressman can get this money, should we study this? and everyone agreed that we should. The issue comes down to is that, do we want to put Hartford on the map? Do we want to have a vibrant capital? And I've said this with the congressman, and I'll say it today, that this isn't for us. This is for our children, our grandchildren, and a huge economic boost that we will never see in our lifetime, probably, because what will happen is if you go down to San Antonio, you have that river walk?
I've been there.
You've been there. How beautiful is
that? Oh, I can't. It's hard to describe.
So that's, you know, what we're not seeing here is that's what would happen here. If you look at some of the plans that the DOT has come up with, you would go right to the river. You'd have housing. You have boat slips. You would have entertainment. We are lacking that. You know, you talk about the baseball stadium, which I know you're there,
yep,
you know, at the games, you know, doing the announcing. Imagine leaving a game, going out there with your family, walking along the river, stopping at a restaurant, stopping at a cafe,
awesome,
at a bar,
awesome,
live entertainment.
Yep.
It is the economic effects would be huge. It would put Hartford on the map as one of the best capitals to come to the United States. And I believe that today, and I'll believe that until my dying day. If he gets this money, I'm telling you right now, it will change the whole environment of what the city has been.
When could we start it, Congressman? If everything goes well, when could we start it?
Well, we could start it as soon as we get it approved through the United States Congress. As Carl has pointed out, and Tony has, it would have to go through a study process, but that process is ongoing. The good news is that because we've had so many individuals write in already, including the Chamber of Commerce, CROG, the Chamber of Congress east of the river, the Aetna, the Travelers, the Hartford, the St. Francis, Mount Sinai, any group, yet last week we presented to Bank of America, everybody who listens to it understands, as Tony says, this could transform the city.
Wow.
In terms of a livable, accessible, intermodally connected place that all of a sudden our riverfronts are opened, and instead of our city divided by eight-lane highways, it's opened up. It's walkable, which has been the long-term commitment of riverfront recapture of iQuilt and connecting the arts and industry. And if you look at the property, we're going to be doing a REMI study later this year. I talked to Catherine Smith about this. A REMI study is, what is the economic development that could occur beyond those levees once those highway systems are taken down? Now you have the Mixmaster on the East Hartford side and, of course, the viaduct. But imagine those three bridges restored to what their purpose was when they were first designed. They were boulevard type that would really connect both sides of the river. We'd probably have to go down to accommodate Rocky Hill and Wethersfield and do the Putnam Bridge also because of the way that you would come up and get into the tunnel if you were going. But the ease of access. And let me say as well, we've had people down to the Department of Transportation has a special division called Build America. This was an idea of Bill Schuster's. And he had me come down there. We brought the players down from the region. And they talked about, Tony was there, talked about all the different kinds of funding that we would have available to coordinate all the efforts that need to be done.
And he's on our side.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, this is exciting. We have a traffic break coming up? No, a couple of minutes yet? Okay. Representative Guerrero, go ahead.
Let me just add to what the congressman said, too, because, you know, just something hit me when he said that, was that I was in Boston last weekend. Now, my daughter, who lives in Boston, moved out to a little town called Somerville, which is right outside of that.
Yeah.
When they did the big dig in Boston, it opened up a huge economic impact for all those other towns around Boston. Property values shot up, all right? Building, real estate has gone off the roof right now because you can't touch anything. Because everybody wants to be around Boston, so maybe they can't afford to stay in Boston, so they start to branch out a little bit. But it's so easy and accessible to get in Boston. And that's where we all have to look at this and say, what are the effects of the surrounding towns? It's going to be huge.
Well, let's throw the question out. Congressman, what would this do for East Hartford and West Hartford, let's say?
The extraordinary. You know, the old Connecticut Boulevard where Hoffman is connected, if you go across. Well, there, you know, it's hard to get on and off there because of where the highway is. But that used to be Connecticut Boulevard, and it would run essentially from Main Street in East Hartford to Main Street in West Hartford. Oh, and, you know, well, it goes up Farmington Avenue, right. Which is, when you look at how they would be aligned, and you can understand intermodally, you know, how this could be connected by car, by bus, by bike. There's a big emphasis on being able to walk around the community, too, once you get there, once you're there in the business district, or once you come in for entertainment at night. And so to have that Access RC, and so how we create that connectivity to a, you know, industrial giant is going to be vitally important for both sides of the river. And again, if you were to look at the Mixmaster on the east side of the river, that's the equivalent of the size of downtown Hartford. So there's a lot of planning that's going to be, but a lot of positive stuff, REMI studies, et cetera. So optimistically, by the time we got through all of the studies and, you know, when do we start the tunneling, when do we get that going? And again, we can't emphasize enough about this. The difference is you have a turnkey operation where you don't have to shut down the city of Hartford or shut down traffic until you actually have completed the bypass.
That's the key. Hold that thought. I know we have a traffic report. No traffic? Okay. Sorry.
Well, that is key because when you look at the Buckley Bridge and that interchange, it takes about 264,000 vehicles daily. You know what the George Washington Bridge takes to a city of 11 million people?
How much?
324,000. Oh, so we got 130,000 people in the city of Hartford. And so that's what DOT's engineers and everybody have had to deal with, trying to deal with that confluence. And Tony's idea, frankly, the only rational, sound idea, is to toll. Why should other citizens be able to use Connecticut's highway systems for free? I mean, it's ridiculous that we fund everybody else in the region, and when it comes to ourselves, everybody passes through without paying a dime. And most of the traffic, 60%, I believe, Carl, is pass-through traffic that's not going to the city of Hartford. So we would take them off of our main thoroughways into the tunnel and let traffic, local traffic, back and forth to work pass along the local bridges.
Ever wanted in the General Assembly, because no one, whether you're Republican or Democrat, would ever want to jeopardize federal funding. And in regards to the lockbox, we just passed that lockbox for the gas tax, and all those other funds that would be on the ballot in 2018. So, again, I've been on the show many a times, and I will say this, that over 60% of the people that use our roadways, 38% are residential vehicles, 24% are truckers out there, and they're beating on our roads. They're not stopping to fill up with gas. We as the citizens are paying for that, and it's time that we have to let other people help pay for our infrastructure rather than on the backs of all the people in the state of Connecticut. That is why that is the fairest way of doing it. And when you talk about electric vehicles, hybrids, all that, the gas tax in another 10 years, Joe, will be obsolete. So either we better come up with a plan now, or else there will be another tax in place on our backs to help fund our roads and our bridges.
Okay, let's go to Mike in West Hartford. Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. By the way, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Hey, what was the last big pie-in-the-sky unfunded program that's basically one-sixth of our national economy that was pushed down our throat? Can you name that program, that government program?
Mike, I know what you're getting at about health care and all this stuff. That's not
the
issue.
No. Here's the thing. I'm sorry, but
What should we do? What should we do with I-84, I-91, which is crumbling, and the viaduct?
Look, I like the idea. I really do. I think something really has to be done. But the last person that sold us on the other program was standing with Nancy Pelosi and gabbled into law that was a total mess. So I just don't trust what's going on right now.
Nancy Pelosi?
I know that was my big, and I apologize for it, but I feel strongly about that. Something really has to be done. I agree with you. I think we need a little bit more information. And again, I'm not necessarily trusting the players that are involved.
All right, let's let the congressman address that.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate your skepticism, and I would love to come in and talk about health care at any time.
We'll do that sometime.
But this morning, let's talk about where people can actually agree on something. So we have a Republican president, Republican-controlled House and Senate. We have a Republican chairman of transportation who's been here six times, who's embraces this concept.
And we're going to have to stop you right there, Congressman, because of the constraints of time.
Okay.